Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com. I said evening. I have no idea what time it is where you are, nor would I ever have an idea, since you can listen to this whenever you want. Anyway, this is Brian Newbert from goldenblack.com, driving around Eugene, Oregon, in a Nissan Rogue. Hertz, in particular, has a lot of Nissan Rogues, so I'm quite well acquainted with this particular vehicle. This is your goldenblack.com drive home post-game podcast following Purdue's 65-58 win at Oregon, completing a two-game sweep of the Pacific Northwest in Purdue's first venture out here during Big Ten play. This is brought to you by our friends at the East End Grill and Ripple & Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sand Valley Resort, and the Whitaker Inn, which is half a continent away, so I will not be driving by that anytime soon. I am driving through Eugene, Oregon, back to my hotel in advance of my flight home tomorrow. It has been a long week, nearly a week, and it was one Purdue navigated very well. Purdue beat one at Washington relatively easily, one here at Oregon relatively not easily. But in a manner that was pretty revealing, I think. If you thought the West Coast was going to turn the Big Ten into a bunch of pretty boys and it was going to be all high-scoring games and stuff like that, the Big Ten has changed that, if that makes any sense. This was a classic Big Ten rock fight in which it seemed like the first team to get to 50 was going to win this game. It didn't quite work out that way, but that's how this game was played. It was defense, turnovers. The team that took fewer bad shots, you know, gave itself a real advantage, which is to say Oregon gave itself a real disadvantage. And the more disciplined team, the one that took care of the basketball the best, was going to win. And right now, that's the sort of game Purdue is ideally tailored to thrive in. This Purdue program that has been outscoring everyone for like 5 years now, has become one of the elite offensive programs in college basketball, has suddenly become one of the best defensive teams Matt Painter's had at Purdue, if not the best. There's still a lot of basketball left to be played here. The body of work is not nearly complete, but what Purdue has done during this six-game Big Ten winning streak since conference play resumed has been the best stretch of defensive basketball, in my opinion, that Purdue has played, even going back to the days in the early to mid-2000s when Painter first started, when you could hit people with folding chairs and not get called for fouls. You could hold them, you could trip them, you could do whatever you wanted to them, and that was basketball back in those days, and that's where Purdue thrived, with that really aggressive, high-pressure, physical defense, and the game has changed. And Purdue changed with it. But Purdue, in a very different manner from way back in those days, is doing it at a really high level. The best Purdue's done it in years, as I said. They are playing extraordinarily connected defensively. Their help-based system is being executed extremely well. It has worked marvelously. Whatever adjustments Purdue made in the offseason, and I can detail them on our website at a later date, if I haven't covered most of them already, have all been master strokes. It's almost like all those years of people crowing for zone. Purdue has the best of both worlds here. They're not a great team in terms of staying in front of the basketball, but what they're doing is basically extracting all the benefits of zone without everything they hate about zone, and without everything everyone should hate about zone. In my opinion, Purdue is playing really well together. This was a game defensively where Oregon was just looking for alleys to drive the basketball with superior athleticism, and Purdue was just laying traps with its help defense. It was just laying traps for Oregon to walk right into, and Purdue amplified it all with a supreme effort on the defensive glass, really won this game on the glass in a lot of ways. But I think that holding Oregon to 36% shooting, forcing 16 turnovers and turning that into a lot of offense, that's Purdue now. That's how Purdue's winning. right now. And as soon as they start making shots in first halves, I think the final scores are going to start to reflect what this team is, what this team's kind of building into, what this team has probably always been, only for it to be obscured a bit by some really difficult matchups in non-conference play, particularly those from the best conference in college basketball, the SEC. I think Purdue was fine all along. It's just they ran into the wrong teams at the wrong times. And once Big Ten play was going to get going again, Purdue was going to look like Purdue again, and that's exactly what's happening here. This was a particularly notable game in the sense that so Purdue, to this point, hadn't really played anybody in the Big Ten, so you had to kind of keep that in the back of your mind when you were viewing that five-game winning streak to open up, reopen Big Ten play. But this was, you know, I honestly don't know how good Oregon is. I think they're good. I don't think they're elite. I don't think they're like top 10 caliber, even though people see the name on the jersey, are blinded by the colors on the jersey, and they think that winning at Oregon is like this signature season-making win. I'm not saying this to take anything away from what Purdue just did, but I don't think Oregon is much more than a very good team, which is not really an insult. It's a compliment, but it may not sound like it. I think this was a great win for Purdue, regardless of, you know, what Oregon is or isn't. And Purdue's just playing really well right now. But this being a ranked team, this being another road game, this being a pretty decent net ranking team, this will be a quad one no matter what. There's no way Oregon falls out of the top 75 or 70, whatever it is. This will be a win that will age really well, looks really good in the short term, and just really, really embodied what Purdue is now in terms of a team that is really good offensively, that just needs to put 40 minutes of shot making together. It is really good defensively. It is really together defensively. And it is rebounding above the sum of its parts. This has been a really telling stretch of basketball in terms of Purdue's ability to improve on the fly, to understand deficiencies and turn them into not just competence, but strength. And you just can't say enough about what Purdue has become here, what they've grown into, what they've matured into, and how they have just found ways to turn it up in the second halves of these games, and how their best players are playing when they're needed most. And today, whatever it is, it was Braden Smith, you know, having another Braden Smith game, but also absolutely terrorizing everyone on defense, which I think, personally, there's a conversation to be had about putting him in the conversation, which is the most tepid way you can make a take. Have a conversation about putting him in the conversation. I sound like the national media. There's a conversation to be had about Braden Smith's place in the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year race right now. If you're watching the games, you're not seeing a guy who's shutting down any one individual player. You're not seeing a guy who is like physically imposing or changing games with his presence. But you're seeing a guy who is impacting games as much, if not more, than probably any defensive player out there. And it's this systematic gimmick Purdue's doing where basically Braden Smith has, I assume this has been sanctioned by the coaches, has this leeway to deviate from his low priority defensive assignment to just run around and wreak havoc, to help, to disrupt, to go for steals when there are steals that are to be made, to jump passing lanes. And it's working, and it's working big time. You know, Purdue is forcing a ton of turnovers, and I would have to venture a guess. I have no data to back this up, but I would have to venture to guess that Braden Smith's had a hand in probably half of these turnovers that Purdue has forced here these last five or six games. So that's a big part of Purdue's defensive calculus here, and the element that I think justifies Braden Smith being not only in the Big Ten Player of the Year race, but the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year race, which I never would have believed could be the case at the start of the season. But here it is. He was great again tonight. On a night when Purdue didn't make threes, they're 2 of 12 from three. You know, Purdue just shoots better. They separate in these games. But Trey Kaufman-Wren, you know, gets 23 points. It takes him 20 shots to do it, but he gets 23 points, shakes off some early difficulties. But situationally, where he rose to the occasion, he gets 11 rebounds against a bigger, more athletic front court. So he gets those 11 rebounds. That's a huge issue for Purdue. Purdue did a great job team rebounding, but Trey Kaufman-Wren did a great job individually on the defensive and offensive glass alike. But then also he goes 9 for 9 from the foul line, which, you know, he's a 50-something percent shooter. And this is a game where if he goes 5 of 9 or something like that, this game might unfold differently. Instead, he goes 9 for 9. Couldn't have answered the moment any better at the foul line. And it just speaks to the kind of poised individual he is and how good of a player he is that he has this type of game and Purdue's really its first marquee Big Ten game. And a game that was significant in the Big Ten race, in my mind, not because Oregon's going to be a contender. I don't think they are. They've already lost 3 home games. You're out. That is a deal breaker in the Big Ten. You cannot lose 3 home games before the end of January. You usually can't lose 3 home games, period, but not before the end of January. But this, what this does is Illinois and Michigan already came out here and swept their West Coast trips. Illinois beat Oregon and Washington out here. Michigan went to L.A. and beat both USC and UCLA. So Purdue kind of, you can look at it like Purdue kept pace with a couple other contenders in the league. Michigan State hasn't had to make their trip out here yet. That'll be big. But Purdue kept pace with the teams that swept their West Coast swings. I think there's significance to that. Now, the trap for Purdue is this. After those West Coast trips, maybe not necessarily right after, Illinois goes home and loses to USC. Michigan then, shortly thereafter, goes and loses at Minnesota, the worst team in the league. So that's where Purdue has to really follow this up. They've got to run a home games now, 3 in a row. Then they finally get to catch their breath with a week off after that. And but I think they've put themselves in a pretty good position here in a lot of ways. NCAA tournament resume, Big Ten race. More importantly, they're getting better. And that's the most important part of any game, any season. So that's what I got from Purdue's 65-58 win at Oregon. This is Brian Newbert from goldenblack.com. Thank you to the Pregame Club Hotel. No. Sorry, I've got my live reads all mixed up. We do appreciate the Union Club Hotel. By all means, go there. Stay there. Go get a room. Spend a week there, whatever. But also East End Grill and Rippling Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the Sand Valley Resort, and the Whitaker Inn. And I will touch base on that. I'm sorry, it's been a long week. I will talk to you guys again, I think it's Tuesday. Purdue plays either Ohio State or Michigan, one or the other. I think it's Ohio State. I haven't had time to even look a couple days ahead. So looking forward to going home and looking forward to continuing to do these podcasts and covering these games and all that stuff. So thanks, everybody, for listening. I appreciate it. Leave us a 5-star review if you'd be so kind, a pleasant, polite comment if you can find it in your heart to do so. And we'll be talking to you. Bye now.